Hi, this is Rob Silverstone, and you're listening to The Rob Silverstone Show. On today's episode, we'll talk about college. The question is, should I go to college? Well, the first thing you might want to consider if you're deciding that is to determine what's the best path for you. What are you interested in? Do you have thoughts about career fields? You could consider what you are particularly good at, not just what you are interested in. For example, are you a really great guitar player or a piano player? Could you make a living doing that? Is there something about music that interests you that you might want to work in a music-related business? You might want to decide on possible career paths and evaluate whether those careers require a college education or not. Do the companies that you might be interested in working for consider self-taught applicants who don't have college degrees? For example, can you teach yourself how to code and get a job as a computer programmer, or do you need a college degree first? It may depend on the company you might want to work for, of course. Do you have the discipline and resources to acquire the necessary skills if you don't go to college, or is college essential for your field of choice? You might also want to evaluate the cash flow implications. Tuition needs to be funded. You could fund tuition with savings, with debt, working through school, etc. Many people take out loans to go to college, not thinking through how much is too much in terms of the value of the loans. This may mean that it takes some people more than 10 years to pay off their college loans after graduation. A benefit of going to college is that you would gain skills, connections, and mentors in college that would be hard to replicate elsewhere. Many relationships form in college, from meeting a future spouse to meeting a possible mentor to meeting a future business partner. Schools can also help you to land internships, which are a good way to test out a job or a company or even an industry. You can consider other options, such as the military option, if you go to one of the academies, hard to get in, but West Point for the Army, Naval Academy. Then college is completely free, but you do have to commit to 5 years of military service after you graduate. You could also go straight from high school into the military by enlisting. There are trade apprentice programs, for example, if you want to be an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter, where instead of going to college, you can become an apprentice in those fields, learning as you go. That could be an alternative to schooling, and you could make money sooner, but it's not for everybody. Know that you can choose one path now and switch to a different path later. For example, you could go into banking and then instead become a graphic designer. Many people change their minds about a career idea during college and after college just because they learn more about life. You could join a career discussion board where you could ask specific questions to get others' perspectives and get the benefit of other people's questions and answers as well. You could also talk to people about their career experience, and that could be an eye-opener depending on the industry and the career path. Ultimately, it's more about trying a path that makes sense for you. And just because an entry-level job doesn't pay a lot when you start doesn't mean that there isn't growth potential for the career of your choosing. For some companies, you literally have to start out in the mailroom or as a junior assistant, and then as you learn about the company and the people, you can move up. All jobs have different requirements and timing for advancement, which is another reason you shouldn't compare yourself to others so quickly. Networking with others, particularly within the career areas that you're interested in, can be of great value. You could ask leading questions about how those people decided on their fields or how they got to their current roles and what they like and don't like about those roles. Ask them about advice that they wish they had been given at your age. That might also be enlightening. It's been said that if you find a job that you love, then it won't feel like work. That's easier said than done, but it's great to talk to other people to get their perspective before launching your own career. How do you determine what you want to do career-wise? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. The information resources with most career areas are unlimited these days. Doing your research will lead you to being better informed about salary ranges, about working conditions, and about advancement possibilities. Check out career sites such as Glassdoor.com or LinkedIn, for example. If you're uncertain about a career field, here are some other things to think about. What are your interests and hobbies? Do you want to work closely with people or not? Do you like working with children? Are you interested in fields such as music or arts? Would you like to work in an office? Would you like to work in a store? If you know to some degree what you want to do. It might be to become a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher. If you want to be a teacher, do you want to teach in kindergarten to 12th grade, you know, for school-age kids, or do you want to teach in college? For school teachers K to 12, you might need a master's degree depending on the education program or the education requirements. For college, you almost always need a PhD if you want to become a college professor. You might want to become a salesperson or a marketer, or maybe you want to have a trade job. As I mentioned before, you might want to go into the military, in which case look at enlistment versus the academies. Also, under the military, under the federal GI Bill, most of college can be paid for by the military after you finish your service. And the military training itself can have great value, both in terms of skills and in overall discipline. If you're thinking about college, you may want to weigh the factors behind going to a public college or a private college, whether you go to a university that has multiple programs and grad schools or just a college, whether you want to go to a four-year college or a community college, which is usually just 2 years, whether you want to go to a large or a small school, and if it's a small school, whether it's specialized or it has a general liberal arts type of background, or go to a school that's in between. Also, location is important. Do you want to go in your own state where you might actually get a tuition discount because you're a state resident, or somewhere within driving distance of your state? Do you want to go to a school that's in a big city or a school that's in a more rural environment? But in any event, you might want to get out of your comfort zone and experience living in a different location just to see what that's like. Some people don't have a preference over college and would be happy to go anywhere, and that's okay too, but weigh the pros and cons as well as the travel costs. Some schools offer specialized programs for students who are interested now or think they might be interested after the first year or two in sports business or to be a physician's assistant, or perhaps they want to study engineering or history and languages. Some schools are better known for their arts programs. So depending on your interests, you might want to apply to schools that are in line. As you look at the costs of college, which are not insignificant depending where you go, consider not just tuition, but also the cost of room and board, travel expenses, as I mentioned, getting back and forth from school to home, the cost of books and other materials, whether you can afford to go to school full-time or you might want to go to school part-time so you're working along the way to help pay for it. Some colleges have more generous financial aid than others, and some have great work-study programs where you're both working and studying simultaneously, and the working aspect of it helps pay for the studying aspect of it. Recently, a field has developed in which people are being encouraged to go to community college for the first year or two, learn a lot at a very low cost, maybe even living at home and commuting, and then transfer to a larger school or a school with more resources for the last 2 years of your degree. That can be a great and very economic way of getting a college degree, and it's become more popular in the last decade. Consider the track record of the colleges that you might want to apply to. What percent of the graduates are employed within a year after graduation, for example? What percent go on to graduate school? How long does it take the average student to get a degree? Even though it's the normal time frame is 4 years, many students take a year off or they work, so it takes them 5 or 6 years to get a degree. And last but not least, where do college graduates work? Sometimes that alumni network can be helpful when you're networking, trying to figure out where to get an internship or where to get a job after graduation. And the larger the alumni network, and the more active, usually the better the benefit that is for you as a student at that college or that university. Many people weigh whether to get a bachelor's degree versus an associate degree. And for some professions, a 2 or 3 year associate degree is totally sufficient. And for other professions, a bachelor's degree may be required. There are alternatives to college, as I mentioned, such as apprentice programs in the trades or military enlistment, and that can have value for some people. There are also financial implications of not having a college degree. Some of the negatives about not having a college degree are some large corporations will automatically not consider a candidate who doesn't have a degree. And for certain other jobs, applicants without a degree may not be considered even in academia, for example. Average income of those who never went to college is significantly lower than for those who did attend, and I'll talk about some numbers in a minute. Some of the pros of not having a college degree, obviously there's a big cost savings if you're not paying for college or your family's not paying for college. You may be able to get more work experience if you go right out of high school and you start working. You'll be building up work experience and what it's like to be in the real world, which some college students don't have. And as you gain that knowledge, that might still make you valuable in certain fields for advancement. That said, there are a lot of stats that suggest that not going to college has a financial penalty and going to college has a bit of a financial reward. You have to weigh this against the cost of college, of course, and the cost of 2 or 3 or 4 years or more of education in which you have little or no income. So these are all worth considering, of course, but it's the long term that matters most career-wise. So here are some stats from the U.S. government's Bureau of Labor Statistics from late 2020. Talk about median wages and the unemployment rate. So median is the point at which half the people would be above and half the people are below. It differs a bit from the average. In some fields, it might be very close to the average, but it's a better indicator as to what your earning potential might be. So for example, if you just have a high school, if you are just a high school graduate and you haven't gone to college, the annual median wages in the United States are about $40,000. The unemployment rate in the end of 2020 was 9% for that group. If you have some college, the median wage is actually around $45,000, $46,000, so it's a bit higher, and the unemployment rate is slightly lower at 8.3%. If you have an associate degree, the median wage is about $49,000. The unemployment rate was 7%. If you have a bachelor's degree, the median wage jumps all the way up to almost $68,000, and the unemployment rate is 5.5%. If you have a master's degree, and we'll cover graduate programs in another podcast, a master's degree, the median wage is about $80,000, and the unemployment rate is 4%. And if you have a doctorate or a PhD, the annual median wage is about $98,000. The unemployment rate is only 2.5%. So what does that tell you? The time and effort invested in college and perhaps even grad school, on average, generates a significantly higher annual income to the person and a significantly lower unemployment rate for that group of people. So that would suggest that all else being equal, if you can afford to go to college and you can afford to go to graduate school, you'll likely have a better earnings potential and less probability of being unemployed than if you don't go to college. That doesn't mean that college is for everybody. It's just talking about general statistics, and general statistics don't always apply to every individual. These government stats, by the way, were for people age 25 and over in the United States who have full-time jobs. Does not count part-timers, does not count people looking for jobs who don't have jobs. It's just looking at people with full-time jobs and what their experiences have been. So to sum on the numbers, if you only have a high school degree, you can expect an annual wage that's probably about half what it would be if you have a master's degree, and it's about a third lower than if you had a bachelor's degree. So these are just some numbers to think about. Again, money is not the only reason you work, by the way. It's also about your skills and abilities and whether you enjoy your job. It's perfectly okay to have a job as a car mechanic or a store greeter or a cashier in a supermarket. These are all totally fine jobs in the United States because they're all necessary jobs. Someone has to do that to serve the public. However, that said, depending what your goals are in life or what you aspire to, more education may be beneficial in generating more income. It's just that there's a trade-off in how much you may have to pay in terms of lost wages or costs or time to get those degrees and how much you'll earn. And it's not for everybody. But as I said, talk to people to find out what their experiences have been and what they recommend. It may be that after you talk to several people, relatives, friends, teachers, ministers, rabbis, you may get a better sense of what's the right path for you. So in summary, think through the possible paths for your life. The best part about life is you get to decide to some degree what path you choose. Decide on how much you can afford in terms of education relative to what you want in life. As I said, network, talk to people in your field of interest. Networking can help you to formulate a more confident career path for you. And try out a path and know that just because you're trying a path doesn't mean that you're locked in for the next 40, 45 years. You could reevaluate, you could pivot or shift paths. That's really up to you and your personal situation in life. Above all else, know that there's not a wrong choice here. It's just a question of weighing the alternatives and deciding what feels like the best path for you. Other people will encourage you to follow paths that they've followed. Your parents may have a strong opinion about what you should do in life. They're looking out for your best interests, so keep that in mind. But ultimately, it's up to you. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our podcast today and learned something about the college process and whether or not it's right for you. Just want to thank you for listening. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear it. You can email us at rob@therobsilverstoneshow.com. I'm Rob Silverstone. Our producer is Violetta Sikora. And we thank you for your time. Stay tuned for another episode.